Oh, do I have them?
Mm-hmm. They're under your seat.
Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of God's goodness and grace has given upon you that you may show God's love in all that you do. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see all of you this morning. I just have a few things that I want to lift up that are printed in the bulletin this morning. On the back page, that the Board of Trustees are going to be meeting immediately following worship today. And the Church Council will be meeting for the visioning, have a visioning meeting on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Also, if you can stay and help to undecorate the sanctuary this morning, we would appreciate that. And some of you have been asking me about the soup and sustenance. The United Methodist Church's a way forward general conference that's going to be held in February just for us to have some more information about it. None of us get a vote at this point. The delegates are those who will get to do that. But this is just so that we know what the conversation is about. Are there other announcements this morning? All right. Then will you turn to 636, Christian People, Raise Your Song.
We trust you to make yourself known. We name the darkness that covers the earth. We cry out for the gloom that controls the nations.
God, in your glory, shine upon them.
For our sons and daughters who are far away, for those who are not strong enough to stand on their own, for those whom your light has gathered.
God, in your wonder, shine upon them.
Like the nations that come with gifts to proclaim, we offer our praise.
God, in your splendor, shine upon us.
Amen. Amen. Please turn to number 206 in your red hymnal.
Give light to the world, the star of
Please join me in prayer. Bright, shining maker of visions and dreams, the good news of your love lights up the world with radiant glory. We see you in rain and snow, in sunrise and sunset, in the smiles and hugs and celebrations that greet the new year. Like the Magi who followed a star to welcome the newborn Christ, help us follow the star of your love and bring gifts of wholeness and peace to a world that is broken and in pain. Share with us the unending riches of your grace, that we might be bearers of your goodness. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. And it looks to me like you are the youngest person here. And you really don't want to come up, do you? I didn't think so. I'll sit down.
All right, reading the Word of God, Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Through darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations. The Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to your dawning radiance. Lift up your eyes and look all around. There are all gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away and your daughters on caregivers' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will tremble and open wide, because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you. The nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. And they will come from Sheba carrying golden incense, proclaiming the world's praises. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. You've heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave to me for you, right? God showed me his secret plan and revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles could be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they should share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, at least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that had been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens and many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan that he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Christ, we have hold and confident access to God through faith in him. Love came down at Christmas.
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen the star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all of the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judea, because from you will come to who govern. You will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod secretly called for the Magi and found from them the time when the star had first appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me, so that I may too go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and looked, the star had come seen in the east, went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. When they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route.
Thank you, Emma. In the early church, Christmas was not celebrated as much as was Epiphany. And the reason I'm speaking of this today is because one of the ways that they celebrated Epiphany was by singing all of the songs that were loved by the people, and they didn't have all that we've got now. I don't know if you've noticed that my voice is a little bit deeper. Someone said it was sexy. Others say I sound like my father. If my cough won't stay subdued, we're going to be singing some songs. But that's just plan B. I think about what good news we are given in the scripture today and in the songs that we sing and in the song that we heard. Love came down at Christmas. Love, oh lovely, love divine, love came down at Christmas. It was a sign. And we sang, "In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both the same." From the Hebrew scripture we hear, "Arise, shine, because your light has come." Paul speaks to us and says, this was done so that we would know the riches of Christ. The riches of Christ. And we're not talking about it. He wasn't talking about the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. He was talking about those gifts of the Spirit, those gifts of those matters of the Spirit that really carry us through day by day. And then we hear from Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that set off something new. and that something new is made available to us because it was made available to the Magi, to those men who came from the east following that star. They didn't know what they were looking for. Remember that the Jewish people had been promised a Messiah. The Jewish people had been promised this time that they would no longer be subject to whoever was ruling the country, that God would be their ruler. They knew the promises, and they could read them in their scrolls. They knew them. But these men who came from the east didn't know what the scrolls said, but they knew that something really amazing was happening because the brightness of that star. The scripture today reminds us that as the Magi are searching for that newborn king, it's a symbol of our own searching for God, our own searching for peace or joy or love or mercy or grace. We are part of the Magi Gentiles who came searching. The story today tells us that God has opened up the world so that all of us are now invited into God's family. And it reminds us that there are those who are afraid of, there are those who have power that they really like and they don't want to let go of. And the threat of this king is just as real today as it was then. And they have a reason to be afraid of him. And this story reminds us again today that our response to meeting the newborn Christ, our response to this encounter with God, is to worship. Part of the good news here is that what God is doing here is so normal and so much everyday. God came to us and God was a baby. And we are, might all say, that at one point we were that normal baby. But we weren't normal to our parents. We were the hopes and the dreams. And yes, some of us disappointed our parents. But our parents had hope in what would happen in this world with God working through us. Remember, Hannah dedicated her son to be a Nazirite priest. Something amazing was going to happen through him. And Jesus reminds us that all of us can do greater things than he did. All of this happens in Matthew because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That is the story for Matthew. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And we know the story of the angels. We know the story of the shepherds. We know the story of the Magi, those who came to see him, because he was born. God has continued to reveal God's self to humanity through all of these 2,000 years. Now, none of us are going to claim that we are also the Son of God. None of us are going to claim that we are the embodiment of God. And yet all of us can say that we are made in the image of God. And in that image, we have the characteristics of who God is. God has continued to be revealed through all of these years. And those epiphanies, those God revelations come to us in many different ways. A person got sober after years of drinking. And after some sobriety, started seeing that the spring was green. And wrote the poem, "The leaves on the trees have never been so green. The stars in the sky not so bright. You've opened my world. You've opened my eyes. You've colored my world with the love that you're giving to me." And it's that epiphany of God. Seeing God in the stars and God in the leaves on the trees. And that's an amazing way to be drawn into who God is. But maybe for some of you, as for me, it's not always nice. This grace that God brings to our lives doesn't always come as a nice little package. If you think about your lives, hasn't grace come to you as a result of some of the difficulties that you face? Flannery O'Connor wrote a story called Revelation. And in it, it opens with Ruby Turpin is sitting in a crowded doctor's waiting room. And Ruby liked to kind of sit back and look at the people around her. One by one, she would evaluate every person, measured herself against them. And she was also always higher on the social ladder than any of them were. As she was glancing around, she saw a young woman, looked like a teenager. She was unkempt. She was pockmarked. She had a sour look on her face. She tried to talk to her, and the girl didn't respond to her at all. So she said to the girl's mother, "Well, what is your daughter's name?" The mother looked up and said, "Mary. Her name is Mary Grace." "Well, Mary Grace," says Ruby, "I always think it is just great to sit up in your chair, and posture is so important." And the girl, as she was slumping down, was just kind of glaring at Ruby. But Ruby continued her chatter loud enough for everybody in the waiting room to hear. She talked about the relative lack of the relative value of poor black workers compared to poor white trash. It was poor white trash, you had to pay them for a day's labor, not so much the poor black workers. And the poor white trash got a ride home at the end of the day, even if they only lived a half mile away. And the poor black workers did not. But Ruby was chattering on until that teenager fixed her eyes on her like a steely drill. And Ruby became very uncomfortable. Ruby had squinted her eyes at the title of the girl's book. She had this big, heavy book, Human Development, and Ruby could only imagine the kind of lurid things were in that book. Suddenly, as Ruby keeps chattering, Mary Grace holds the book like this and flings it across the room. And it hits Ruby in the head and knocks her across the forehead and leaves her sprawled on the floor. The little girl is on top of her hissing, "Go back to hell where you belong, you old warthog." That was the beginning of an undesired revelation for Ruby. She realized how very lacking in grace she was. Mary Grace had been difficult, just as grace is difficult sometimes. Scripture encourages us to speak the truth in love. Scripture encourages us to be gracious, and much of the time we can be. That gentle, loving spirit of God. But there are times that we need to be like Grace, Mary Grace, and show people some grace through confrontation. The revelation of God comes in many ways. For some of us, it's a hummingbird. I did the funeral of a man who was about my age. Shortly before I came here, he had died suddenly. He was an outdoorsman, and his daughters and son were struggling with his death. And there was a gathering at their home following the service. They walked down to the end of the road, and they saw two eagles flying over the post, the signpost, to their father's home farm. And in that, there was a revelation of God. For some of us, the new insight, the revelation of God, comes through reading a verse in the Bible that we have read 100 times, and it speaks to us new this time. Wow, why have I never understood that before? For some of us, we experience that great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone to ahead of us to life eternal. We can feel their presence around us, and that's the revelation of God. For some, the revelation comes through a phone call or a text or a tweet reminding us that someone is thinking of us and we're not alone. For some of us, the revelation of God is a book hitting us in the head or a 2x4. Sometimes each one of us is a ruby, and we need a rude awakening. And sometimes we are a Mary Grace, those who confront the lack of grace in others. Sometimes God comes to us as a book that smacks us across the head. That is Epiphany. I've listened to some of you tell stories about epiphanies that have come to you while we've been, since we started this breakthrough prayer. There are stories of children who have needed to get help for addiction, and they have reached out for it. There are stories told of people who have had a hard heart towards some relative, and their heart has been softened. There are stories of anger at God because of the death of a loved one. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't what we expected. But the peace of Christ has come to us through that. All of these revelations of God come to us through the revelation of that one born in Bethlehem. Are we not blessed? The grace of God, the presence of God, the opening of our eyes to God is what Epiphany is today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. We have seen the light of the world. We've been called to follow that star of promise like the Magi. Let us bring our gifts to honor the babe of Bethlehem and to bring light to all of the dark places in the world, in our community. I invite the ushers to come forward. Let us pray together. Bright, shining maker of visions and dreams, accept the gifts we bring you this day, that they may shine like a star, brightening all the world with your grace. Amen. You may be seated. We have a request for prayer for Fred King. This is Judy Fowler's brother. Became a double amputee at Christmas. So that is quite a recovery ahead of him. Are there other people or situations? Yes. Sam? Okay. Someone from Matthew's class, a young man had a burst appendix, and that not too many years ago was a death sentence, but he had surgery, still had a serious infection, went back in, did surgery again, and is in recovery. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we draw near to you, we are so thankful for your abiding light, the light that you show us in the person of Jesus, the light you show us as a new way to live. In his birth, you have poured light into the world. You've asked us to live in the light rather than run and hide in the darkness. Ask us to have hope and certainty rather than doubt and despair. You promise to be the light in our lives, all of our days, and you ask us to place our trust in you. And yet sometimes following Jesus is risky business. It means that we make sacrifices sometimes as we seek to give you our best, as we seek to offer hope and light to others. In this new year, we name Sam for recovery of his from his surgery, and Fred for recovery of his amputations. Be with them for the days that seem dark. Use us to be a light in their lives. For all of those who struggle with health or economic or emotional damage, broken relationships, loss of loved ones, anxiety, hear our prayer. We place them in your care. Let your light shine on them, bringing healing and hope. God, always, always help us to be bearers of the light in all that we do. with Jesus as our model and as we are made in your image. We seek to be faithful. And we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Would you turn to page 13 in the hymnal? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit out on all of us who are gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the blood, body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. By the light of the star, God led travelers to the Christ child. When they saw the child, they were overwhelmed with joy. By the light of divine love, God leads us to this holy meal. Gathered together, we encounter the living Christ and taste with deepest joy. This morning, we're going to have communion in the pews. So you'll remain seated. I invite our servers to come forward. They're going to pass the bread plate to all of you. And then we will have a blessing and eat together. And then we will do the same with the cup. We talk about feasting in that heavenly banquet. And in that heavenly banquet, what we look for are the gifts that sustain our spirits, our souls. And those are available to us here and now. As you take the bread and eat it, receive the gifts of God's Holy Spirit. In taking a cup, we receive all that God has to offer to us through Christ. In drinking, we are filled with the goodness of God. Let us drink. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this mystery through which you give yourself to us. As we go this day and as we go into this week, as you've given us what we need, let us share that with the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 20. 95 Star Child.
Here.
Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.